They've done extreme things, but this is certainly something very different than we've seen.
Malaysia and North Korea continue to spar over murder case. It's Friday, March 3rd. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We also invite you to check out our Facebook page at VOA Asia. Also ahead, China calls for a South Korean boycott over missiles. Military exchanges between the United States and China have stalled. Collaborative parenting strategies. And growing trees to watch sports. VOA Asia starts now. Malaysian authorities are preparing to deport a North Korean man who has been held as a suspect in connection with last month's death of Kim Jong-nam, the half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. 45-year-old Ri Jong-chol has been in custody for nearly 2 weeks following the February 13th attack on Kim at an airport in Kuala Lumpur. Malaysia's attorney general said Thursday that the period under which Kim can be held without charges is set to run out and that there's not enough evidence to file any charges against him, so he'll be deported on Friday. North Korea, meanwhile, has not confirmed that the dead man is Kim Jong-nam and is demanding that Malaysia release the body. On Thursday, former North Korean ambassador to the United Nations Ri Tong-il said that the man identified by his passport as Kim Chol had a history of heart problems and that there is, quote, a strong indication a heart attack was the cause of death. He said if VX nerve agent was really used, then samples should be sent to the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons for testing and determining its source. He also suggested rival South Korea could be behind the killing as a way to divert attention from its own problems. Malaysian authorities say that VX nerve agent was used to kill the half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. VX is a deadly substance banned by the United Nations, and if North Korea is proven to have ordered the use of the chemical weapon, then it is an issue for international response. VOA Asia's Steve Miller reports there are many ideas of what an appropriate international response should be.
Kim Jong-nam was killed February 13 when two women smeared a liquid on his face at the Kuala Lumpur International Airport. Indonesian city Aisa and Vietnamese Noan T. Huong have been charged with murder, a crime that carries with it the death penalty. The two women say they thought they were participating in a televised prank. How does this attack in Kuala Lumpur compare with other North Korean moves to consolidate power?
So the use of deadly force or the use of violence to purge any challengers or potential challengers, that's not new.
According to Daniel Pinkston, lecturer on international relations at Troy University in Seoul, South Korea.
But the new element of this, of course, is the use of the VX, if the reports are true, and I have no reason to disbelieve the reports. So that is a brand new development.
Stratfor Vice President of Strategic Analysis Roger Baker adds,
certainly the way in which they carried out this assassination using VX is different than we've seen in the recent past. In the long-distant past, the North Koreans tried to blow up the entire South Korean cabinet in Myanmar at one point. So they've done extreme things, but this is certainly something very different than we've seen.
So how serious of an issue is it for the international community that a state like North Korea would use a substance like VX nerve agent in a public space? Baker says that when examining the assassination method, the attack suggests
this was VX that was basically put together during the assassination. So it wasn't just the general release of VX in the space. So in that sense, we could say that this was very targeted in the application and didn't have a major ripple effect to the airport or to other people in the airport, or apparently even significantly to the two individuals who engaged in the assassination.
He goes on to say that the attack itself is a clear signal that North Korea not only is willing to use substances like VX, but do so far from home. Pinkston reiterates that VX is an extremely deadly substance.
Only a single drop of it, if it were to get on your skin, will kill you. Anyone who would introduce that substance into a public area in a international airport, I think it's extremely brazen and completely unacceptable, and crosses a red line that's beyond the acceptable international norms.
North Korea continues to develop nuclear weapons and test ballistic missiles, despite several international sanctions put in place and condemnation by the United Nations Security Council. So how might the international community respond in this instance?
I think that North Korea must pay a very high price for this. And not to impose serious costs upon North Korea, I believe, would invite further and more brazen transgressions. And I think it would be the wrong signal to send to North Korea that they could engage in this type of behavior with impunity.
Pinkston says that a menu of options should be made available to the international community, including banning all of their aircraft from international airports, placing greater sanctions on individuals and entities, placing North Korea once more on the list of state terrorism sponsors, and a proportional use of force directed at chemical weapons facilities. And in Washington, United States lawmakers have called for North Korea to be listed once more as a sponsor of state terrorism. Baker adds that a question often asked about North Korea is, what more can be done? He says that boils down to basically three action items: negotiate with North Korea, further isolate Pyongyang, or carry out some sort of military action. But
there's a growing change of view, for example, in China. And the debate in China is growing stronger over whether the risk of a destabilized North Korea is still a greater risk than an uncontrolled North Korea pursuing these weapons and carrying out these actions. That would be the most significant change if it occurs. And China is the one country, I think, that could really alter the balance.
Furthermore, he says that as the United States completes its review of North Korean policy, one can't rule out that military options won't be included in the review. Steve Miller, VOA News, Washington.
We invite you to read more on our top story as it continues to evolve. You can follow us on Facebook at VOA Asia and also check out our voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on voanews.com. Indian economy belies forecasts of a big slowdown over currency ban. China supports WTO after Washington criticizes trade organization. Chinese media call for boycott of South Korean goods. Into Myanmar's stalled peace process steps China. Angry at the U.S.-based animal rights group PETA, traders in South Indian state pull U.S. drinks. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. China's state media is calling for sanctions and a boycott of South Korean goods after a Korean conglomerate approved a land swap deal at home that paves the way for the deployment of a controversial U.S. missile defense system. How could China go about punishing South Korea without hurting its own economy is already proving to be a difficult question. And as VOA's Bill Ide reports, not all agree that boycotts are a good solution.
Lotte Group has more than 150 outlets and facilities in China, some like this supermarket in Beijing. But its role at home in the deployment of a U.S. Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Anti-Missile System, or THAAD, has some saying it's time to show the company the door. On the streets in Beijing, some agree with state media calls for a boycott of the company, South Korean goods, and sanctions.
At a very basic level, we can refuse to buy Korean goods and products and limit travel to South Korea. As for trade, I hope the government can adopt some policies to sanction South Korea.
For some residents, however, the memories of China's heated territorial dispute with Japan in 2012 were still fresh. At the time, there were calls for boycotts and protests, some violent.
Politics and business are two separate things, and such actions are unnecessary, much like China's boycott of Japanese goods in the past. When Chinese were smashing Japanese cars, they were smashing the assets of Chinese people.
No matter how bad relations with Japan get, that will not have an impact on Japanese products or companies in China. Going for sanctions will not really do anything to resolve the problem, and I hope China's leaders will come up with some measures that are more effective.
Still, protests are already cropping up, like this one outside a Lotte store in the northeastern city of Jilin. What comes next for Lotte and other South Korean stores in China is hard to say. Construction at this massive project in Liaoning's provincial capital of Shenyang has been put on hold after failing to pass a fire safety inspection. During a recent visit to the store on a weekday, few customers could be found. Shenyang has close business ties with South Korea and a large shopping district for Korean goods. However, few there were worried about the dispute or the impact it could have on business, saying that while the government has to do what it will do, business will go on regardless. Bill Ide, VOA News, Beijing.
Happening now in Asia, lawyers are suing the government in Beijing for damages related to China's smog problem. The lawsuits signal a growing frustration over the environment despite government efforts. Lawyers seek compensation for citizens having to buy face masks, doctor visits, and emotional stress. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The ongoing program of U.S.-China military-to-military engagements is off to a slow start for 2017. It's not clear if the exchange program is continuing or if it's been put on hold by the Trump administration. VOA's Lori London has more in this report written by VOA Mandarin's Li Bao.
So far this year, there has only been one direct engagement between the two militaries. U.S. Navy Commander Gary Ross, the Pentagon's spokesperson for Asia Public Affairs, tells VOA the Pentagon has not been ordered by the Trump administration to stop or curtail U.S.-China military engagements. However, General Joseph Dunford, chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, suggested in a recent presentation at the Brookings Institution that the military relationship with China is linked to the political relationship between the two countries.
Our military-to-military relationships are informed by our national objectives, and so the nature of our military-to-military relationship with China right now will be very consistent with our political relationship with China. But at a minimum, open lines of communication to mitigate the risk miscalculation and to address some of the incidents at sea and in the air.
Brian Clark, a senior fellow at the Washington-based think tank CSBA, coordinated the U.S. Navy's engagement with China's PLA Navy. Recently, President Trump canceled a visit with Mexico's president because of differences over immigration policy. Clark says President Trump is less likely to give in to China if Beijing tries to use military engagements as leverage to pressure the United States on other issues.
If there was a disagreement between us and China, the Chinese would use that upcoming engagement as a tool to try to force the United States to back down and agree with the Chinese terms. It seems like, given at least this Mexico example, the Trump administration is not likely to follow that pattern.
Clark tells VOA that plans for military exchanges are usually worked out by the end of the previous year. On February 24th, China's Ministry of Defense said the two sides are still working on a list of engagements. For Li Bao, I'm Lori London for VOA Asia.
You're listening to VOA Asia.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOANews.com.
Visit our website at VOANews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
This news alert from VOA Asia. Taiwan's defense minister says Taipei will increase naval patrols and conduct joint training exercises with the Air Force after Beijing held exercises in the South China Sea. He also said Taiwan would develop advanced missile defense systems to better defend itself. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, many parents in China are now preparing to have second children, and others throughout Asia are also planning families. The important job of raising their children will soon follow. Giving a time out, taking away favorite activities, spanking. These are some of the techniques that parents use to discipline children when they misbehave. VOA's Faiza El-Masri, in this story narrated by Faith Lapidus, consults child psychologist Ross Green, who says this controlling style of parenting is not effective. In his recent book, Raising Human Beings, he explains why and suggests a different approach, so-called collaborative parenting.
Throughout his career, Ross Green has noticed that most parents try to control their kids. But he says parents don't need to control, they need to influence their children. And the way to do that, he says, is to create a collaborative partnership. Parents should listen to their kids, take their concerns into account, and help children benefit from their parents' experiences and values.
A lot of us were raised by parents who were more oriented toward power and control. If they start moving toward collaboration and influence, they feel like they're losing control, but the reality is they didn't have control in the first place.
When parents try to control their kids, they use strategies that are oriented around power.
Time out, adult-imposed consequences in schools, detention, suspension, expulsion, kidding, that's power. And number one, power doesn't really solve the problems that are causing the behaviors that we're using those strategies on in the first place. But number two, power causes kids to stop talking to us, causes kids to feel like we're not listening. And those are not good outcomes if we want to have a relationship with our kids, if we want to communicate with them, and especially if we want to have influence and partner with them on solving the problems that are affecting their lives.
After 20 years as a child psychologist at Harvard, Green left the academic life to set up Lives in Balance, a nonprofit that focuses on kids with significant behavioral problems. That's where he developed his collaborative and proactive solutions parenting model. The more research he's done over the years, the more convinced he's become that this model is also effective in raising kids who have less challenging behavioral problems. Adopting a collaborative and proactive parenting style, Green says, offers an opportunity for parents to model the qualities and skills they want their kids to acquire.
Skills like empathy and appreciating how one's behavior is affecting other people and resolving disagreements without conflict and taking another person's perspective and honesty. We don't want to wait until people are adults to start worrying about those skills. We want to start teaching them as early as possible to our kids in the ways that we parent.
Child psychologist Ross Green says the best outcomes happen when parents realize that the role is more than dealing with their kids' problem behavior. It's about partnering with their children so they become the best adults they can be. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
Developing at this hour in Asia, former CIA official John McLaughlin tells VOA the killing of Kim Jong-nam was an attempt to curb any effort to install an alternative to Kim Jong-un. North Korea says a heart attack was responsible for Kim's death, not VX nerve agent. VOA keeps you informed all day on Facebook at VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, many countries throughout the region have been or are in the process of building new sports stadiums for large regional events and three future Olympics. The environmental impact of building a modern facility can be immense and occupies a large plot of land, not to mention the impact of the massive amounts of concrete and steel. It can create quite a giant carbon footprint. But there is perhaps a lesson to be learned from a football club in England, which is now building its new stadium the old-fashioned way and with highly sustainable materials, wood. VOA's Kevin Enix kicks around the idea.
The Forest Green Rovers are an English football team that have been playing the game for over a century. And this is their club chairman, Dale Vince, who is determined to make sure the team lives up to its name.
From the football club's perspective, we're stuck in a place that's difficult to get to. We've doubled the crowd in the last few years since we've been involved. We've got ambitions to get from where we are, which is Tier 5 of English football, to Tier 2, the Championship.
To get there, they need a new stadium. And Vince, who also owns a green energy company called Ecotricity, has designed what he says will be the definitive word on sustainable construction.
I think the really big deal is the fact that it's all made out of wood, minimum use of concrete. If you look at the carbon impact of sports stadia through their working life, 75% of that impact comes from the materials that they're made with, so it's not the running cost. Wood is, of course, a very sustainable material, low in carbon. So that's our starting point, really. We'll make it from the least impactful material that we can.
The stadium will also have a translucent roof to reduce shadows. It will be open to the wind, and the lights will be low-energy LEDs embedded in the roof.
We're looking to the future for Ecotricity as well as for Forest Green, and we found the perfect location, we think, to build something that's going to be really out there in terms of its environment design, and infrastructure and that kind of stuff. You know, it'll be eco by name and nature, as you might imagine.
Construction will begin on the new stadium in 2018 and will be the centerpiece of a £100 million sports and technology park. Kevin Enix, VOA News, Washington.
Perhaps we'll have a chance to sit in one and cheer on your favorite team. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can check us out on Facebook at VOA Asia anytime you like. And we thank all of our listeners from Myanmar who have been checking us out on the VOA Burmese Facebook page. We're glad to have you with us. Download our podcast, too, if you like, from our voanews.com website. Take VOA Asia wherever you go. You can find us at our website streaming as well. Our director for today's program is Tracy Carter, engineer Carl Starling, and our managing editor is Diane Gao. And thanks to our great VOA Asia team as well, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In his recent speech to a joint session of Congress, President Donald Trump laid out his vision for protecting the United States from terrorist attack and defeating the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, or ISIS.
Our obligation is to serve, protect, and defend the citizens of the United States. We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism.
The vast majority of individuals convicted for terrorism-related offenses since 9/11 have come to the United States from outside the country. In order to guard against this reality, President Trump said he is proposing improved vetting measures in order to keep out those who would do Americans harm.
It is not compassionate, but reckless to allow uncontrolled entry from places where proper vetting cannot occur. Those given the high honor of admission to the United States should support this country and love its people and its values. We cannot allow a beachhead of terrorism to form inside America. We cannot allow our nation to become a sanctuary for extremists.
ISIS also poses a threat to American friends and allies. In order to defeat that threat, President Trump directed the Department of Defense to develop a plan to demolish and destroy the radical Islamic terrorist organization. ISIS, said President Trump, comprises a network of lawless savages that have slaughtered Muslims and Christians, and men, women, and children of all faiths and beliefs. We will work with our allies, including our friends and allies in the Muslim world, to extinguish this vile enemy from our planet, he said. President Trump has also imposed new sanctions on entities and individuals who support Iran's ballistic missile program and reaffirmed the United States' unbreakable alliance with the State of Israel. Going forward, said President Trump, American leadership will be based on vital security interests that we share with our allies across the globe.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.